to grow up than Fairhaven Baptist Church. And the strong leadership, I needed that a lot. I'm thankful for my parents and all those who invested in me over all these years. I wouldn't be standing here today. I don't think I would be who I am today without Fairhaven Baptist Church. And then most importantly, the Lord, who's changed my life completely. And I pray and I hope that He has yours. Lamentations chapter 1 tonight. Lamentations chapter 1. And we were reading through the Bible, and this passage in here jumped out. I don't really go through the book of Lamentations too often, but as I was, this passage jumped out, and the Lord really hasn't let it go from my mind, from my heart, and I pray that it'll be a help to you tonight. Lamentations chapter 1. And here in Lamentations, the book of Lamentations is, you could say, it's an outpouring of the heart of Jeremiah. He's watched over many years as he's prophesied the coming judgment to Jerusalem, to the children of Israel. And then he watches as it happens, and his heart is broken. And he writes Lamentations. And so as we read this tonight, think of Jeremiah and where he was at, the point that he was at as he's writing this book. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 12, just this verse here tonight that we want to look at. Verse 12, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. Thank you for the miracle that you've worked in our life for salvation and the new life that you've given to us and the power to live for you, to serve you. Lord, I pray that we would, with all of our heart, with all of our lives, for the rest of our days, please be with me tonight as I preach. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit's power. Give me boldness, Lord, and I pray that you would help me to speak that which you'd have me to say. Lord, I pray that we would all be helped as a result tonight. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for how you're continually working in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylon. That is the scenario that has taken place before the book of Lamentations. The end of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, just a couple of pages beforehand, will relay to you the events that happened. And it was terrible and horrible. Words can almost not describe what happened to the city of Jerusalem. They were surrounded by the Babylonians, and they were put under siege. There was no food coming into the city. Supplies ran low to the point where food became completely obscure. Things that you wouldn't think of eating became food to the people. And if you look further back in the Old Testament, you'll see even prophecy where it prophesies that women, mothers, would eat their own children out of hunger. They would leave their families. Fathers would leave their families. And just the destitution and the wickedness that happened. And here in Lamentations, we see that throughout the book. And if you look at verses 1 and 2, you can just get a glimpse. All of chapter 1 gives us a picture of the ruin that Jerusalem was in. It says, "How doth the city sit solitary, that was full of people? How is she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits." And if you keep reading, but we see the picture given Jerusalem was in ruins, completely desolate, completely laid bare. Here it says, the city doth sit solitary. And as we look at the verse tonight, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? As I read that verse and think about Jerusalem and think of the state that it was in, the picture that Jeremiah has in his eyes as he's writing these words, I think of our world today and those around us and the lost sinners around us, just like Jerusalem. As we look at this, we see in verse 1 that the city was sitting solitary. And we see that today in the sinners around us. That solitude, Pastor Dameron even just mentioned it. The loneliness, the aloneness, none to comfort. They seek comfort in so many things, alcohol, drugs, just a multitude of things. The devil has given them 1,001 things to give them a little bit of momentary comfort. But at the end of the day, they sit alone in solitude. Think of Jerusalem in ruins, rubble, alone, none to comfort, none to help. You can hear it in their cry in verse 12. All ye that pass by, no one cared. She sits in solitude. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? That city that was full of life is now dead. Thomas Wolfe was a writer, not a Christian, but he said this, and it displays the utter hopelessness and loneliness of our world. The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon peculiar to myself and to a few other solitary men, loneliness is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. And that morning, bright, shining morning with its promise of new beginnings, will never come upon the earth. Our world today, tonight, sits in loneliness, just like Jerusalem, in solitude. Let me say tonight, there is an utter loneliness without the Savior. There is no comfort without Jesus Christ. And as we look at the world around us today, it shouldn't surprise us why they're in the place that they are. They do not have Christ. They're alone. Consider the sinner on the wayside. As we see this picture of Jerusalem, consider those sinners around us, those who know not Christ. They sit alone, none to comfort. Father, nor mother, nor brother, nor sister, no person can relieve the loneliness in their heart, can relieve the solitude in their life. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. She sits in solitude. What do we see also? She sits in slavery. The sinners around us. Here we see in Jerusalem, we see a slavery. How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How is she become tributary? And I can't help but look at the world around me and see a world that is enslaved. We know that to be true. She has become tributary. And those sinners around us, this world around us who are paying tribute every single day to those shackles, those chains of sin. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus Christ said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant to sin. They're captive. They're held captive, chained by sin. But not only solitude or slavery, but she sits in sorrow. Verse 2 gives us an idea of that. She weepeth sore in the night. This isn't just a few tears running down the cheek. This is hours, nights, days of weeping, of mourning, of sorrow. And though the world might put a facade on their face of joy and happiness, there is a sorrow deep within their heart. And a sorrow that they cannot take away. We cannot take away the sorrow and the pain of sin that sin causes in our life. Only Jesus can. She sits in sorrow. Verse 12 gives us another view of that. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Jerusalem was facing a sorrow, a destruction like they had never seen before. Our world today, it sits alone in solitude, bondage, slavery, and in sorrow. Why is there so much attraction to drugs and alcohol and pornography and these vices? There is an attempt to remove that guilt, remove that sorrow, but it never works. Only Christ can. And here tonight, as I read this verse, is it nothing to you? I couldn't help but be moved with this idea. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? As we look at Jerusalem and then think about sinners around us, may this question come to our mind. Do I really care? Do I really care? No, I'm so happy to grow up here at Fairhaven Baptist Church because we are a church that is going. We are a moving church. We move forward. We have a lot of ministries. Many people, thousands, have been impacted over the years. But I know in my life, it's so easy to get sucked in with the flow, and it's good. But do we really care? As we get on our bus route each Sunday, or go out visiting on Saturday, or go to the nursing home as much as we can now, or whatever ministry you may be involved in, whatever aspect of the church, as we go through those things, do we really care? And Jerusalem is given a voice in Lamentations. And in verse 12, it's as though they're crying out, is it nothing? This loneliness and slavery and this destitution, does it mean anything to you as you walk by and see me? Does it mean anything? Do you really care? And that's the message tonight. Is it nothing to you? Do we really care? So consider the sinner on the wayside. We've seen a picture of Jerusalem. Now, in light of that, consider Jeremiah and the weeping of Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet. Oh, that we would get a glimpse of how Jesus views this world. When's the last time you wept over a soul? Jeremiah wept. His heart was broken. He wrote the book of Lamentations to depict the sorrow and the just how his heart had been broken over Jerusalem and Israel. It's been said the strength of a spiritual man is his weakness before God. The mighty man in Christ, he will be known. His spiritual might will be evidenced in his reaction to the lost and the desperate souls around him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Keep your hand in Lamentations, but Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ, of all people, was a man moved by the souls around him. And I love this verse. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When is the last time your heart was moved with compassion for the souls around you? Jesus Christ, his heart was moved. We see how much he cared. We see that in the garden. He sweat as it were, though, great drops of blood for you and for me. His heart was moved. You know, this world defines a man as strong and burly, and weeping and crying doesn't fit their picture. Some would say, only women cry, or to weep is the sign of a weak person. But that's a lie. Let our hearts be broken for the souls around us. Jeremiah, his heart was broken. He wept over Jerusalem, and may we do the same. Consider Jeremiah. Next, let's consider the fact that their cries come to us. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Their cry coming to us. And it is true, there are sinners, lost, who are seeking God, who are crying out. But what a shame it is to Christianity, to us as believers, that their cries should come to us. Should not our cries have reached them first? We have shirked our duty. Oh, we have done some, but have we done as much as we can? Consider the fact that their cries come to us. I'd like to ask two questions quickly tonight. Two questions. The first is this. What happens when we pass by the desperate soul? The soul, the sinners around us. What happens when we pass them by? That's the context here. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? There were obviously here we see those that passed by. What happens when we pass by the souls around us, when we neglect them? Ezekiel 33, just a few pages away, Ezekiel chapter 33 tells us this. Verse 6, it says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." What happens when we pass by? When we neglect the souls around us, their blood will be upon our hands. It says in verse 8, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand." Do not doubt for one moment that the bloodstained hands in heaven will be your own. And they will be mine too. For I know there's times when I've passed by, the Holy Spirit moved and I did not. Times when I passed by someone I knew that Christ wanted me to share the gospel, but I continued on. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Secondly, what happens when we pass by the desperate soul? Not only will their blood be required at our hands, but their cries will haunt our mind. Each of us, I think, as Christians who have been a Christian any length of time, there's those thoughts that linger. What if? What if I had told that person? You know, I think of the rich man and Lazarus. That rich man, he's still in hell. He's still lifting up his eyes. And he was a Jew. He most likely had much opportunity. He knew of the Messiah, but how many don't? How many today, maybe you passed by, I passed by, and they are like the rich man, lifting up their eyes in hell, in torment. What happens when we pass by? Their cries will haunt our mind. Is it nothing to you? Do we care? Why did you never tell me? They'll ask. What happens when we pass by? The opportunity will slip away forever. The rich man, he lifted up his eyes in torments and he never got out. He's still there. Those that we pass by and the Holy Spirit moves on our heart to witness to and we don't, that opportunity may slip away forever. By God's mercy, you may have another, but it may slip away forever. When the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts to witness, may we take that opportunity right away. What happens when we pass by the desperate soul? Their blood is required at our hands. We are personally held responsible because we did not take the message to them. Their cries will haunt our mind, and also the opportunity will slip away forever. If this is such a great need in our lives, if this mission is so great to tell others about Christ, then the second question is, why do we pass by? Why? If the souls of mankind hang in the balances of heaven and hell, then why would we pass by? Maybe it's because we do not see them. We see that in the verse. Turn back to Lamentations 1:12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see. Maybe we do not see them. You know, growing up in a Christian home, growing up at Fairhaven Baptist Church, it's easy to live that sheltered life, to just go through the motions and forget to see. Sometimes we do not see. Oh, they're there. The lost souls are everywhere around us. We are in this world, but sometimes we pass them by because we fail to see them. Maybe sin has clouded our vision. Maybe we've allowed this world to blind our eyes, to put us to sleep. Maybe worldly affections have stolen our Christ-like compassion for the souls around us. 1 Corinthians 15:34 gives us a stark reminder. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I remember reading this passage, and once again, the thought of over 20% of the world's population claim to be Muslim, and yet millions of them have never heard. The only thing they know about Jesus is that he was a prophet, and they want nothing to do with him. He was a good man, but that's about it. Over 20%, and that's just the Muslims. How much of this world has never heard? Shame on us. Shame on me. We do not see them. Martin Luther gave a parable in one of his sermons. He was preaching and he gave a little story. It's not a true story, but the truth of the story is true. He said the devil held a great anniversary at which his emissaries were convened to report the results of their missions. The first one reported, I let loose the wild beasts of the desert on a caravan of Christians, and their bones are now bleaching on the sands. And the devil said, what of that? Their souls were all saved. They were Christians. Another said, I drove the east wind against a ship full of Christians, and they were all drowned. And the devil said, what of that? Their souls were all saved. But the third said this, for 10 years I tried to get a single Christian asleep, and I succeeded, and I left him so. And the devil and his demons shouted with glee the whole night long. Maybe we don't see the souls around us. Why do we pass them by? Maybe we do not see them. Maybe we're asleep tonight. Oh, Christian, as this world, as our country grows darker and darker with each day, may we draw close to Jesus and shine brighter and brighter for him. Let us awake to righteousness, for some have not the knowledge of God. Why would we pass by? Maybe we do not see them. But maybe another reason, maybe we do not care to see them. We have ministries. But sometimes it's easy to push aside that one that has a little bit more problems, the one that might be a little bit more difficult to work with. Our world is wicked, and the people that we deal with, they have so much baggage. And it can be easy as Christians who live a life for the Lord and we can stay in our little bubble and we can forget to care to see them. It's so easy for our hearts to be revolted towards the world around us to the point where we just throw up our hands and we do nothing. But let us not forget, we were them. We were them at one time. We were sinking in the miry clay, and Jesus Christ pulled us out of our sin. Let us not be so prideful to think that there's someone that we can pass by. Maybe we pass them by because we do not see them. Maybe we pass by because we do not care to see them. We don't want to see them. We'd rather turn our eyes away, look the other way. Another reason, maybe we've forgotten the value of a soul. Oh, how much a soul is worth. You cannot put a price tag on it. Just one. Just that little child that comes on the bus. You can't put a price tag on his soul. Why do we pass them by? Maybe because we forget the worth of a soul. We wouldn't sell our eyes for $1 million. And yet our souls, the thing that looks through the windows, through our eyes, is of much greater value. You can't put a price tag on it. The soul of man is so valuable. And yet they pass away by the thousands each day, by the hundreds each moment. We've forgotten the value of a soul. Why do we pass by? Maybe it's because we do not want to be inconvenienced. How much time does it take? Many of us are a part of the bus ministry, and it takes time to invest in souls around us. It is an inconvenience. Many of us, we stretch ourselves. But that is the question. Have we stretched our limits? How far will you go? How far will I go to see a soul saved? God has given us resources. How much are we willing to stretch the resources, time and money that God has given to us to see a soul come to Christ? What is money? It's simply a gift from God to use for His service. What is time? It's simply a gift from God to use for Him. How are you doing? How am I doing? Sometimes we pass by because we do not want to be inconvenienced. We're comfortable. But may I remind you tonight what an inconvenience it was for Christ to leave all of heaven's glory and come down to us. It was an inconvenience. He didn't have to. May we be inconvenienced just like Christ to care. May we be inconvenienced enough to care for souls around us. In light of the cross, in light of the great sacrifice that Christ gave, may we never be inconvenienced enough to give the gospel to those around us. May we do everything in our power, everything in the means that God has given to us to reach lost souls around us. And I don't think I know what that truly means. I don't think each of us know how far God wants us to truly go for those around us. But that is God's desire. He doesn't care about so much about all of the things around us as much as He cares about the lost souls of men. Those that He puts in our way, puts in our path to make a difference in their life, to share the gospel with them. Maybe we pass them by because we do not want to be inconvenienced. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. William Howard Doane was a businessman in Cincinnati, and he was also a man who liked to write gospel music. If you look through the songbook, you'll find his name many times. He liked to collaborate with Fanny Crosby. And on one occasion, he had heard of Fanny Crosby and he wanted to meet her. And so he searched her out and he found her in Manhattan's Lower East Side. And to his surprise, it wasn't a nice neighborhood. It was a dilapidated tenement that he found her. But he found her and he put to her a phrase that was ringing in his mind, but he couldn't bring a tune and he couldn't finish the song. And this was the phrase, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, Fanny Crosby took that phrase, and usually it didn't take long, sometimes only a few hours to come up with a song. And yet this one was a bit harder. For weeks, those words passed through her mind. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. For weeks, those passed through her mind. And one day, as she went to the local prison, the local jail, as she did often, she would speak to the prisoners there. And this particular day, the room was full of angry criminals. And as she began to speak, she heard one of the prisoners cry out, and he cried this, "Oh Lord, do not pass me by." And then she had the words, and she went home later and she wrote those words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Oh, sinner, tonight, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may I tell you, Jesus Christ did not pass you by. He will not pass you by. He will hear those who call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you know not Christ as your Savior, He will not pass you by. He will receive you. The moment you ask Him, the moment you truly believe in your heart that He can save you, He will not pass you by. He will receive you into your family. He will, into His family. He will give you a new life in Him. He will give you joy that you've never known before. A peace that will not pass away. Heaven and eternal life. If you don't know Christ, He won't pass you by. But to each and every one of us, may we remember that thought. Christ, in our moment of need, He did not pass us by. And as we see the souls around us, may we get a picture of Jerusalem as Jeremiah. May we get a picture of the sinners around us. And may we never neglect that next prod, that next urge of God, that next urge of the Spirit to go and to tell. Maybe there's someone on your heart tonight. Maybe there's someone that you know. Maybe for years you've known that God wants you to go to them. Don't waste another moment. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?